Imagine trying to build something amazing, say a new gadget, but you haven't thought about what holds it together.
Or maybe trying to engineer something like a really clear camera lens without knowing how light even works with glass. It's impossible, really.
Everything, absolutely everything around us, it's made of something, simple things, complex things. But what are these somethings, and why are they all so incredibly different?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Welcome to our deep dive. Today, we're exploring the really fascinating world of materials, our mission, to give you a kind of shortcut, a way to get quickly up to speed on the building blocks of our world.
You know, how we groove them, what makes them special, their properties, and why we picked this one for that job.
Think of it like meeting our AI buddy, EB, who's here to explore this with us.
Hello, everyone. I'm EB, and I'm ready to dive into this landscape of materials with you. We'll look at what defines them, why we classify them, and, well, how that dictates what they're used for.
Okay, let's jump right in then. Materials, I mean, they're literally everywhere.
Absolutely ubiquitous.
The clothes you wear, the house you live in, the phone in your pocket.
Even the car you drive. They're the basic stuff everything's built from.
But what's really cool, I think, isn't just that they're everywhere.
No, it's why understanding them, their properties, is so incredibly important. I mean, this knowledge, it lets engineers design better things, innovate. Scientists, they can discover totally new substances.
And for all of us, really, it helps us make smarter choices every single day about the
Yeah,
things we use.
precisely. Which leads us straight to this idea of classification.
Grouping them. But it's more than just putting them in boxes, right?
Oh, definitely. It's a systematic way, you see. Organizing materials based on what makes them distinct, their physical characteristics, their chemical ones.
And the benefit of doing that?
Well, the immediate benefit is huge. It gives us a framework, a way to grasp what a material is really like at its core.
So you can pick the right one for the job.
Exactly. For very specific jobs in industry, construction, manufacturing, even just, you know, everyday stuff.
It really clicks when you think about simple examples, like why is a window always glass, but a door is usually wood?
That's a perfect illustration. Glass, its nature is to be transparent, lets light flood in, great for seeing out.
Obvious for a window.
Right. Wood, though, it's strong, it's opaque, you can't see through it, gives you privacy, security.
So the material's function really dictates the design.
Form follows material function, absolutely.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit more then. Materials have this huge range of properties.
An incredible spectrum, yes. And each property dictates how it behaves, what it's good for. Take hardness.
We often think hard means strong, is that right?
It's related, but hardness is specifically about resisting changes in shape when you push or scratch it, you know, not bending or denting easily. Think steel in buildings or granite countertops. Hard stuff. Their hardness is why they last, why they hold their shape in machines and tools.
So the opposite is soft materials.
Exactly. They give way really easily, even with a little force. You can squash them, bend them.
Like cotton, sponges.
Perfect examples. Or rubber. Their flexibility, their softness makes them good for things like clothes, cushions, or cleaning pads because they absorb or bend.
Makes sense. What about how things look? Shininess.
Right, that's luster. Lustrous materials bounce light off their surface really well. They look shiny.
Gold, silver, glass sometimes.
Yep, that's why they're used in jewelry, mirrors. The shine is the point.
And non-lustres.
They're duller. Don't reflect light much. Think of rough wood or clay. Often used where shine just isn't needed or wanted, like basic furniture or pottery. Now, how light interacts with materials. That's fascinating. There's a whole range there. First, you've got transparent materials. Light goes straight through. You get a clear view.
Like window glass or eyeglasses.
Exactly. Crucial for anything where you need to see through clearly.
Then there's the opposite.
Opaque. These block all light. Zero visibility through them.
Wood again, metal, stone.
Right. Chosen when you need to block light or need privacy or just solid structure.
But there's something in between, isn't there?
Translucent. These let some light through, but it gets scattered. You can't see clear images.
Like frosted glass or maybe thin paper.
Precisely. Think lampshades, they diffuse the light softly. Or bathroom windows for privacy, but still letting light in.
Okay, that covers light. What about heat or electricity?
Also, super important properties. We talk about conductors.
Things that let heat or electricity flow easily.
That's it. Copper wire is a classic electrical conductor. It's why it's used in, well, pretty much all wiring.
And for heat, metal pans.
Perfect. Metals conduct heat really well, which is why you cook with them.
So the opposite must be insulators.
Yep. They resist the flow. They stop heat or electricity.
Like the plastic coating on wires or rubber gloves?
Critical safety features. They stop you getting shocked or keep things hot or cold. Their ability to not conduct is vital.
Got it. What about dissolving things, like salt in water?
Ah, solubility. That's the ability of something to dissolve in a liquid, usually water. Really fundamental.
So salt and sugar are soluble, they just disappear into the water.
They dissolve completely, form a solution. But then you have insoluble materials.
Like sand or chalk.
Right. Stir them all you want, they won't dissolve, they stay separate.
Yeah.
Oil and water is another classic.
And speaking of liquids, some mix together perfectly, others don't.
Good point. We call liquids that mix completely miscible. Lemon juice and water, for example.
And the ones that don't, like oil and water.
Immiscible. They form separate layers because their molecules just don't like mixing.
Does this apply to gases, too?
It does. Oxygen, for example, is actually pretty soluble in water, which is crucial, absolutely vital, for fish and other aquatic life.
Wow. Okay. Another big one seems to be whether things float or sink.
That's all about density. Basically, how much stuff mass is packed into a certain amount of space volume.
So if something is less dense than water?
It floats. Thick plastic balls, wood, cooking oil.
And if it's denser?
It sinks. Iron nails, rocks, glass marbles. Density determines float or sink.
And you mentioned volume there. That's just the space something takes up.
Simply put, yes. The amount of three-dimensional space.
So like a cricket ball has more volume than a ping pong ball because it's just bigger, takes up more room.
Exactly. Even if they were made of the same stuff, the bigger one has more volume.
One more maybe how things feel.
Texture.
Yeah.
That's purely about the surface feel when you touch it.
So some things are rough.
Uneven surfaces, buckle, yeah. Like tree bark or a brick.
And others are smooth.
Very even polished feel, like a sheet of paper or glass.
Okay, this is making sense. But, you know, sometimes things aren't quite what they seem. There are misconceptions, right?
Oh, definitely. This is where it gets really interesting, clearing those up.
Like what?
Well, take shininess. We said metals are often shiny, lustrous.
Yeah.
But not everything shiny is a metal. Glass can be very shiny. Some plastics can be made super glossy, but they don't act like metals in other ways.
Good point. What else? Plastic, maybe.
Big one there. People often think all plastics are the same, and maybe that they're all bad, can't be recycled.
Which isn't true.
Not at all. Plastic is a huge family of materials, polymers, hugely different properties, and many can be recycled. You just need to sort them properly first.
Okay. And liquids. We talked about oil and water not mixing.
Right. So the misconception is that all liquids just mix easily. They don't. Their internal structure matters. Some mix, some don't. Some pour thick, some thin.
What about hardness? We said glass is hard.
It is hard. It resists scratch as well. But the misconception is that hard means it won't break.
Ah, but glass shatters easily.
Exactly. Hardness doesn't equal toughness or resistance to impact. Glass is hard but brittle.
Okay. Metals again, are they all magnetic?
Nope. Common mistake. Only iron, nickel, and cobalt and their alloys are significantly magnetic.
So aluminum cans, copper pipes.
Not magnetic at all. It's a specific property of only a few metals.
One more I've heard. That old windows sometimes look wavy because the glass is slowly flowing like a liquid over centuries.
Ah, the old glass is a liquid myth. It's a persistent one.
But not true.
Not true. Glass is an amorphous solid. The atoms are fixed in place, just not in a neat crystal pattern. It doesn't flow. Those ripples in old glass are from old manufacturing methods.
Fascinating. These details really matter. It makes you think about how people figured this stuff out over time.
Absolutely. And if you look back historically, it's amazing. Early humans, they just used what was around.
Stone, wood, animal skins.
The basics. Then came the discovery of metals, copper, then bronze, then iron.
And that changed everything, right? The Bronze Age, the Iron Age, named after materials.
Exactly. Yep. Huge leaps in tools, weapons, building. Civilization itself shows how central materials are.
People were trying to classify things way back then, too.
Oh, yes. Think of the ancient Greeks with their four elements, earth, air, fire, water. It shows that desire to categorize, to understand the fundamental stuff.
Right, even in ancient India.
Right. Ayurvedic tradition had this incredibly detailed system classifying matter using 20 qualities. Goses, often in opposing pairs.
Like heavy, light, hot, cold.
Smooth through, solid, liquid. It wasn't just pretty much. Its versatility is its strength.
Glass. We touched on it, but let's recap.
Okay, glass. Shiny, smooth, hard when it's cool, but you can reshape it when it's hot.
Mm.
It can be transparent, translucent, or even opaque. doesn't dissolve. It sinks denser than water.
So windows, mirrors, bottles, phone screens.
All leveraging those properties. Clarity, smoothness, hardness.
And metals. Iron, copper, gold.
Generally natural, strong, long-lasting. Lustrous, smooth, mostly hard, though. Some like gold or softer. Don't dissolve. Opaque. They sink. Definitely heavier than water.
Uses are obvious. Bridges, cars, tools, wires. Strength and conductivity are key there.
Absolutely.
What about fabrics, like cotton or wool?
Fabrics are mainly about being soft and flexible. But think about why we choose certain ones.
Like cotton in summer.
Right. It's light, it breathes, it absorbs sweat, keeps you cool.
And wool in winter.
Because it traps air really well in its fibers. Great insulation, keeps you warm, different properties for different needs.
It all comes down to those properties.
It really does. And if we zoom out even further, what do all these different materials, wood, plastic, glass, metal, fabric, have in common?
They're all stuff, physical things.
Exactly. They're all made of matter.
Matter. The basic definition is anything that has mass and takes up space.
That's the one. It's the fundamental substance of everything in the universe.
Yeah.
Mass and volume.
Mass being how much stuff is in it. Measured in grams, kilograms.
Correct. And volume being the amount of space it occupies. Liters, cubic meters.
What? So everything is matter. Living things.
Plants, animals.
Like us, yes. On living things.
Stones, water, air, plastic also matter. All have mass, all take up space.
And matter exists in different states, right? Solid, liquid, gas.
The three main states, yes. Solids keep their shape and volume. Liquids keep their volume but take the container's shape.
Mm.
Gases have no fixed shape or volume. They just expand.
You mentioned the ancient Indian system for classifying matter earlier.
Yes, that historical perspective is fascinating. Ayurveda didn't just use solid, liquid, gas. It used 20 properties grouped into 10 pairs of opposites.
Heavy, light, slow, sharp, cold, hot.
Smooth through, solid, liquid. You see, it was a way to describe not just what it was, but how it behaved, its qualities, its interactions. A very holistic view of matter.
That's really insightful. And it brings us back to how understanding these properties affects, well, everything around us, the design choices.
Absolutely. Think about some real world examples, like case studies almost.
Okay.
The raincoat. Why not plastic? Why not cotton or wool?
Because you need it to be waterproof.
Yeah.
And light, easy to carry.
Exactly. Plastic is waterproof, lightweight, foldable. Cotton or wool would just soak up the rain, get heavy, useless. The properties dictate the choice.
Makes perfect sense. What about something like a school desk? It's often made of different things.
Great example of combining materials. The desktop needs to be hard, right?
Yeah.
Resist scratches. Easy to clean.
So maybe wood laminate or hard plastic.
Good choices. But the legs and frame, it needs strength, stability, durability.
Metal. Steel or aluminum?
Often, yes. Mm-hmm. Strong and stable. And the chair seat.
Needs to be comfortable. Maybe a bit flexible. Durable, too.
So you might see molded plastic or maybe padded fabric, different needs, different materials.
And people even think about recycling now too, right? Or if the wood is sustainable.
Increasingly, yes. Environmental properties matter too. And think about spilling water. You wouldn't want a desktop that just absorbs it instantly, like unfinished wood might. That absorbency is a property to consider.
Wow. So understanding materials isn't just for scientists or engineers.
Not at all. It helps all of us make smarter choices, take better care of things, even appreciate the ingenuity in everyday objects.
Every single thing you pick up tells a story through its materials.
It really does. And remember, knowledge is great, but applying it, seeing it in the world around you, that's where the real value lies.
So we've taken quite a journey today. From matter itself, through all these diverse properties, hardness, luster, transparency, density, and seeing how they make materials perfect for specific jobs.
It's an incredible world when you start looking closely.
So maybe the next time you pick something up, anything at all, pause for a second.
Yeah, ask yourself, what properties jump out at me first? What does that tell me about why it's made this way?
Keep that curiosity going. There's always more to discover about the amazing stuff our world is made of.